Greetings, geeks, and welcome to another episode of This Geek in Comics. This is TGIC episode 4 for March 4th, 2015.
This Geek met on March 4th.
This Geek in Comics is brought to you by OutrightGeekery.com and ComicCity2.com. All your geek swag, go to ComicCity2.com. Check those links on our website. This week's This Geek in Music intro music is brought to you by the artist No Days Off. Days spelled like A-Z-E. It's pretty fit. And that song is Dream of You. Listen for the full track at the end of the show. HotSauceAndCoffee.com. Thanks to them for that. There will be spoilers in this show. We talk about this week's new comic books. So if you haven't read those yet, stop listening. Come back later. So you have been warned.
Put your fingers in your ears.
We never really say things that ruin comics.
I like the argument that spoilers don't really ruin a comic. You can know what's going to happen and still enjoy the story.
Everybody always says we kind of see how it's going to go. Everybody knew that it was going to be this guy. We just had to confirm.
Yeah, but the definition of spoiler is arbitrary. So we will be talking about this week's new books.
And they're like scaring people off. You know?
No, I don't want to scare them off. I don't want them to. Their enjoyment of the comic book medium to be ruined in any way. So that's why we give the warning. I would rather than have the warning than be like, damn it, what do you mean Damian is the new Robin? You got superpowers. You know, get a bad
Stephanie
email.
Stephanie Brown is back?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, that's nice.
Yes, yeah. See, spoiler alert.
Okay.
Anyway, I am Gomer.
That's
and
good news.
I am Gomer, and with me is...
David.
Taylor.
And we're going to talk about new comics. Who wants to talk about some comic books first? Oh, I'll go if no one wants to jump up. Go ahead, dude. Oh, no, go ahead. Because I like the book you're gonna talk about.
All right, Queens number 9.
This is the new artist.
This is the Sedgwick run. This is the start of the Sedgwick run. It's pretty much picking up where issue 8 left off. Maybe a little bit before the event that ends issue 8.
Okay.
But it is, as Sedgwick said, a continuation. It's not a new story. It's the continuation of the current storyline, which is the one where the deities that Dee's parents worship and Gregor pretty much brought Palisade to its knees. And it's up to the Rat Queens and the Four Daves and Braga and Lola to save Sawyer.
Rat Queens is an Image Comics book by Curtis Weeb.
What did you call it?
Rat Queens.
You said like Rit Queens.
Rit Queens. Oh, did I? Rat Queens.
Rit of Habeas Corpus.
Curtis Weeb. Weeby?
Weeby.
Weeby, something like that.
Weeby.
And the old artist Rock Up Church really created something special with this book. It's a fantasy sort of adventure.
It's rocking. It's sex, drugs, swords, and sorcery.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's basically it.
Yeah, it was Weeby. What Weeby said was it was Rat Queens is essentially his love letter to D&D.
Yeah, so it's a really fun book. A lot of tongue in cheek stuff going on, but really high adventure, high fantasy, fun characters. Really fun characters. Yeah, it's fun. Image Comics, $10 for the first trade.
Oh yeah,
you can't go wrong with Image Comics sorcery. First volumes, man.
Assassin Sorcery.
Yeah, Assassin Sorcery. You got an all female team.
You have D with. D is the cleric of the group.
Yeah.
She is the one with the parents that worship the tentacle god that's like Cthulhu. You have Betty, which I've spoken to Jules about this, but Betty is my least favorite of the Rat Queens. But in this issue, she does some pretty badass shit.
Awesome.
Love you have that. Hannah, who is the elf, mage, necromancer. And you have Violet, who is, you know, ultimately my favorite of the Rat Queens. She's a dwarf, and I guess female dwarves have beards, and Violet was one of the first female dwarves to shave her beard.
Oh,
to
weird.
Buck the trend.
Neat.
And she is a badass dwarf.
I'm a few issues behind.
But it is Sedgwick's art, and Sedgwick generally cannot go wrong.
Yeah, he's my favorite artist right now.
You know, when he was teasing his studies of his characters and stuff, those were beautiful.
Yeah,
his Hannah and his Violet, and Dee.
But in the panels,
it translates pretty well. It's a comic book in the panels, but it doesn't translate as well as the studies he did. Which I guess when you're trying to get out like 5 books a month,
he is doing a lot of work.
Yeah, I guess something's got to suffer, but. it's supposed to be for a 4-issue run. It starts at issue 9, so what, it'd be issue 12? 11, 12. He's going to leave the series, yeah. but he's basically filling in as the interiors artist until they get a new permanent artist.
Yeah, and we'll see how that goes. It's really cool that a book can survive through the changes, yeah. You know, and it's terrible, you know, all that news associated with the other artists.
Well, it's unique, as in it's an independent. Even if, you know, Image is the big number 3.
Yeah.
But it's an independent company. And independent books, if something happens like that, they generally
die.
Well,
it was a weird story because it's a pretty powerful feminist book with the main lead female characters.
Yeah.
You know, and the themes are there. And so what had happened was kind of, you know, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. You're going to piss people off because you're kicking the creator they like off the book, but if you don't, then you're going to build all this negative buzz around the book by keeping...
Now, was Upchurch the creator, or was he just the artist? Because if he's the creator, I'm sure they'll
work that out, but I don't think he's officially the creator of the book. I think Weeby is the creator of the owner of the book.
But if Weeby has the say-so,
yeah,
then he could do that. But if it's Weeby and Upchurch having the having equal say,
yeah, there's a lot
there
more.
There would be a lot more difficult to get Upchurch off the series.
Yeah, and we're not sure. Maybe Upchurch was like, no, I understand, and voluntarily, you know, yeah, went away. But we don't know the specifics of that.
We don't.
But either way, it's still a good book. Glad it kept
it's
up.
Glad
it
was, I'm glad
the fans
see it back.
Were worried.
I'm glad there was on Reddit, on some forums, people were going apeshit.
Yeah, people were worried.
People were going apeshit. They're happy to see the book back.
Yeah.
Some of them kind of mixed
feelings
about Sedgwick, but
it's always going to be.
It's good. I'm happy to see the book back. I've been a 3-month hiatus that felt like forever.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to see the series back.
I like the artist, so
even if
I'm definitely going to catch up with it.
Even if it was, hey, we just got the guy, you know, we just got Sedgwick in to fill out this story arc. If they ended the series and maybe put it on hiatus for a while and then come back to it, that'd be fine. As long as they, you know, didn't abruptly end the series.
Yeah, yeah. They gave the fans what they wanted, even if it wasn't exactly what they wanted. Cool. That's a good book, Rat Queens. You should check that out. First trade's out, like we said, $10. You can't go wrong with those Image first volumes, man.
And the reason why the second trade isn't that is because they're in the second.
Yeah, they're in the second trade now. Cool, Taylor. What was your pick for this week, your favorite book?
I'll preface it by saying that I felt like it was a pretty slow week for me. I read a few books that I thought were pretty good, but nothing that really floored me. My pick of the week, though, I'm going to go and say is probably going to be Princess Leia.
Excellent choice.
It's the third of these much-hyped Star Wars launches that Marvel's been pushing for, like,
It feels like a thousand years now.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ever since January, you've had like a new Star Wars book come out.
Well, the reason people are so excited, aside from the Star Wars brand, there's been a lot of A-list talent on these books. You have Jason Aaron on the mainline book. You have Kieran Gillen on Darth Vader, and now we have Mark Waid on Princess Leia.
And great artwork too.
Yeah, good artwork too. Yeah,
great artist.
John Cassaday. I can never say
La Roca.
Yeah, La Roca.
Salvador La Roca.
And now Terry Dodson here on Princess Leia.
Yeah, the Dodsons are great.
Is it just one Dodson or both?
I think it's Terry
just
and Rachel.
Terry.
Oh, is it? Well, the cover, I think, was both of them. But yeah, go on.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It was pretty solid. It picks up right... We were talking before the podcast started. It picks up right where where episode 4...
Yeah.
Jumps off.
Yeah, right where episode 4 jumps off, which I thought was one of the most appealing aspects of the entire book.
Yeah, it starts with a very iconic moment. Princess Leia has just awarded Luke and Han their medals, and she gives a speech, like, briefly about how, like, and now let's take a moment of silence for Alderaan, and then, like, there's some jagoffs in the audience who are like, is that the only remorse she has?
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck you.
Yeah, it was kind of like, damn, give her a break.
Yeah.
It did feel like that. They don't know her like we do.
Yeah.
You know, politicians, you kind of, it's easy to hate on them.
Well, in the movie, she's
kind of, what, a brat?
No, after
not really.
She witnesses Alderaan being destroyed, and you know we don't know what she did in the cell until Han and Luke show up.
Yeah,
and pretty much after she gets out of the cell, it's you could look at it as her revenge trip through the Death Star.
Oh, okay.
You could look at it like that because she's killing stormtroopers.
Yeah,
kissing her brother that she doesn't know.
Yeah,
Well, but here, though, she's taking it upon... Like, the rebel leaders want her to, like, stay put in Rebel Base 1 or wherever.
Well, they want her to be, like, the face of the rebellion.
Well, that, and there's, like, a huge-ass bounty on her head
now. Yeah, true, true.
And they think, it's too dangerous. You mean too much of the rebellion. You can't go out and do stuff. And she teams up with this other Alderaan survivor. What she's going to do is she's going to find all of any and all surviving Alderaanians.
Yeah.
And kind of get them to safety. Like, apparently because the Empire's, like, going to try to root them out.
Yeah.
Well, like, in Empire Strikes Back, if you know background characters and stuff,
yeah,
a lot of the Alderaan were the people that stayed behind on Hoth to make sure everybody escaped.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, they were pretty dedicated to the rebellion at that time.
Well, I would be too if we were rebelling against an empire that blew up my entire planet.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to recruit those kind of those people.
Not the best way to endear yourself to a planet is to blow it up. But it got to a solid start. I mean,
we're
being introduced to this new character.
Yvonne.
Yeah, I think so. Her name
with two A's, like Alderaan. Yvonne.
Lovely.
Yeah, I liked it.
We got cameos by Luke and even Admiral Ackbar shows
up. Yeah, loved that, dude. Loved that.
Yeah. I can't let you go, Leia. It's a trap. He didn't actually say that.
Really?
You could tell he wanted to.
He wasn't actually the one who told her not to go.
It was the other.
The Donna.
Yeah.
General Dodonna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the book. It had a lot of strong female characters, which I think Star Wars is gender neutral. You know, I've never met anybody who likes Star Wars and base it on whether they were a girl or a boy.
Yeah.
And I think it's good that they have a book here with strong female-centric characters, you know, as the center of the story.
That being said, though, I felt like it was the weakest of the three Star Wars books.
Definitely.
So in the timeline of the new books, it fits in right after the celebration, but before, like, the first issue.
I would think this is before
literally
any of those
starts.
New books.
Okay, so it starts off right there at the celebration.
Yes, this one's first. Vader.
Vader is after the Death Star.
It's after the Death Star. It's also after the Star Wars
comic,
the
proper.
Jason Aaron Star Wars.
Okay, so this is before the
because
Star Wars comic.
They make reference to It must be. It takes place immediately.
Yeah,
but how much? I mean,
there's no real way to tell exactly when.
I've always been under the impression that the celebration took place right after they blew up the Death Star.
At
if that's
that
not
night
the case,
or the
I
day
guess
after.
There's some leeway there where the other book's going to take place first, but if my assumption is correct, then yes, this one is first chronological.
I think it's easy to assume.
Oh, for fuck's sake, who cares?
Exactly.
They fit in somewhere. Yeah. Just don't nitpick about it.
And I think it's easy to assume that Marvel isn't writing comic books between the final scene and the scene just before the final scene of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. But it was a great book. I love the Dotson's artwork in this. They paint strong female characters
Like,
who look real. They look real, but they still look feminine and beautiful.
I guess I don't give enough credit to inkers as I should. But, it never even occurs to me to look to see who the inker is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Honest.
Yeah.
But
I love Jordi Belair as a colorist. She's probably the best colorist in the business right now. Can't get enough of Jordi. She's great.
But this was very slow compared to the other two books. We don't have the lightsaber duels that are going on in the main book. The main Star Wars book, I just call it that just to kind of distinguish.
Of course.
Aaron's Star Wars book is, it's a thrill ride. It's a roller coaster. There's a lot of cool action going on.
It feels more like the movie.
And then Vader has kind of like, it does a great job bringing kind of Vader's like dark brooding, and like it's a good job showcasing what a badass he is.
Yeah, and the villain's journey is a lot more interesting than it's the only journey we really haven't taken.
Be. I don't want to.
Well, we kind of have, but we don't talk about that.
What
the villain?
I'm talking about when, yeah. I'm not.
But this
that,
one
that
is
never
a, this one is a lot of sitting around and talking. Yeah, that's fine, but
yeah, really, out of all of the out of all of the characters of Episode 4, at least the main characters, I think Leia is the one we probably know the least about. You know, as far as Luke, we know a lot about Luke from that first movie.
It's about any one character, it's about Luke.
Of course,
he's far and away the most fleshed out from the movie.
Definitely, and I think during their escapades, I think you learn a lot about Han. I think she's the other main character that we know the least about.
Well, we know her background.
Yeah, but her goals. What's her? You know what? pushes her to do what she does. I think this is what that book is getting into, and it's fun to explore that. And I'm glad Mark Waid is doing it. He's a great writer for this. Hopefully the next issue will be a little quicker. We'll know in 2 weeks because it comes out not this week, but next week. So
that is
awesome.
The weekly book sometimes.
Well, they're not doing that. They're just trying to get the Star Wars books out.
The first couple
fast.
Of issues, yeah, they're pumping them out. Like, they did 2 Darth Vader issues in February.
Yeah.
They did 2 of the Star Wars in January, too. So.
Did they?
Yeah. So it's really, they're pumping them out quick. But they'll get on their regular pace as monthlies starting next month. Awesome. Yeah, and not really a big reveal at the end of that book, either. You know, it just kind of ends, and we'll see you next time on our way to Naboo. I hope we don't see that. I've read the solicit for issue 3, and they're going to go to another planet in issue 3. So we're going to get a tour of the galaxy as well, which might be fun.
Yep.
Anyway,
it would feel like Star Wars because they always go
could be
planet
the start of something pretty good. Not mind-blowingly good, but
no.
a pretty solid first issue.
Yeah, definitely a solid first issue. I'm excited that they have a mini. When this one's done, then they'll do another mini. And who knows which characters we'll get then.
What you got, though?
Oh, me? Man, I read a lot of awesome number ones this week. 3 number ones that I was choosing from, but I went with, from my favorite book, All New Hawkeye, number one, from Jeff Lemire and Pere Perez? Is that who it is? Go check for me. I think that's who it is. Either way, it's a good story. I picked it up because I missed out on the last Hawkeye, and I really like Jeff Lemire. Jeff Lemire actually had 2 number ones coming out this week, and his other number one was also in the running for me. But this book is doing exactly what the last volume of Hawkeye did. We're getting both Hawkeyes, you know, running around doing their thing. But this is also sort of flashing back to... Yeah, it's a Ramon Perez. Ramon Perez. But it's sort of flashing back to Hawkeye when he was younger, and he was in foster care. And it's a fun story, you know. It's kind of sad because he has a crappy life, but when he's doing the adventuring, it's really fun dialogue. And the way Lemire is able to bring the dialogue of the flashbacks into what's happening in the present is just brilliantly done, expertly crafted story. But the art is really where the book, you know, shines. The flashback scenes are a totally different style than the modern and the current scenes that are going on, the present scenes. And
it might be a different artist altogether.
No, I don't think so. I think it's Perez just doing 2 different styles. And if he keeps it up, it's going to be a tour de force of art throughout this first arc, if he keeps it up, you know, this sort of pace. That's really the only reason to get it, is that art. The story is there. It's very, you know, comical and humorous in the places it needs to be. And then it's sort of gut-wrenching in the places it needs to be. It was a roller coaster ride of a first comic book issue, and out of the 3 number ones I read that were in the running for my favorite book, that one inched its way up just because of the style and design choices they took with the art.
I always heard good things about the previous run on Hawkeye. With
Fractions.
Fraction.
And Aha.
It was pretty good. It's one of those things where, like, I got a bad case of hype backlash where I picked it. Like, people are talking like it's the greatest thing on the shelves. It's phenomenal.
It's good.
Make your head explode when you read it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a well-written, greatly drawn comic series.
It didn't.
But yeah,
knock me off my. It didn't knock my socks off like it was supposed to have, though.
Yeah. This one does not have that same hype associated with it. It was a good run, or a good start to hopefully what will be a good run for Jeff Lemire starting at Marvel, you know, full time. I'm excited about it. Did anyone else have anything? Yeah, I don't want to spend much time on it.
I wanted to go to the other
Jeff Lemire book.
Descender number 1.
Me too.
Oh my god.
Descender number 1
that
was
so good.
Really fun.
It kind of feels like you've read the story before, but I'm willing to give it a couple issues.
I'm going to give it a bunch of issues, man. I think it's going to go down as a historical run.
We've talked about it briefly, but chat. But yeah, it has a very epic feel to it.
Yeah,
I mean it does, and it's just. But the thing about it is I felt like, you know, this is like a cross between Mass Effect, and the movie Artificial Intelligence.
Yeah, there's definitely an aspect of AI there. That movie, that Steven Spielberg movie, AI with Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah,
The book starts off, and we're in a future with a solar system that's got like 9 planets.
No, it's got a few planets. It's like a federation.
Yeah, there's a system.
And there's a capital world that has like the cities from the 9 core worlds. They have, each core world has a city on this planet. And these giant this giant robot shows up on that planet, and then another
robot.
8 or 9 show up at the other core world.
These robots come and mosh the core world.
Yes.
Just destroy all these buildings and people and demolish everything. But they leave the robots alone. So then when these big, giant, world-destroying robots leave, people turn to hating these robots who they feel were responsible,
well,
at least in part, for this happening.
It wasn't people more. It was more one of the member races turned on the robots.
Well, that's
and
what
started,
I mean. Yeah,
and started the robot genocide.
Yeah,
and then you have.
So then it's years after.
Yeah, you have the foremost authority on robotic AI. He was the one that was present at the attack on the Capitol world.
Yeah,
and he postulated a theory that if you could
communicate,
well,
there was a code that the robots were using.
If you could find out the codex, which was the baseline code for these robots they called harvesters.
Yeah, yeah.
You could better understand them, maybe figure out what they would do next. And because of the interceding years, the purge, the robotic purge, pretty much robots are
all the robots are gone.
Are gone.
Most of the robots are gone.
And then all of a sudden, and then what happens is this one robot that's a child, like a companion child, awakes on a colony.
Yeah.
And finds out that he's been asleep for 10 years. Like a Rip Van Winkle type deal.
Yeah.
And
nobody's left on this colony.
Yeah, everybody's dead. Or
yeah.
People are dead. Apparently, like, it was a mining colony. There was a gas leak, and people didn't survive.
Yeah.
And pretty much when he uplinks with the network, they find out that this particular robot has...
This model of robot.
Yes.
This boy model of robot companion.
He has a similar codex to the...
Harvester
to the
giant
harvester
attack
robots.
Robots.
And they... Now it's a race to find this robot.
Yeah.
Before others find them.
Yeah. Well, before... Because there's still people hunting down robots and destroying them because they hate robots.
So, but it's like, you know, the elements of Mass Effect where you have, like, the Geth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a, you know... And in Mass Effect, they're afraid of AI.
Yeah.
Because of the Geth.
Yeah.
And but, you know, there's that analog between Mass Effect and Descenders. And then you have, like, the sprawling...
So you are talking about back when Mass Effect was good, right?
Back
oh,
Mass
definitely,
Effect
yeah,
was
when it was good. Yeah.
At least 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But it has that feel to it.
It does have a strong feel there. It was sort of a letdown for me. I was really excited about it. The property's already been picked up by Sony, I believe, for a movie. There were some panels where pages where it felt like panels were missing. You know, like something would happen in one panel, and then there'd be something else in another panel. Be like, wait, how did we get from A to B? That seemed very important, and it was missing. It seemed a little bit rushed. It seemed like they were trying to get to the main overarching point of the book, and it was still like a 32 pages of story book. It should have been 40.
I think it was 40.
It should have been more. It seemed like too much fit into such in too small of a package for the sort of epic tone that everything took. And that's what knocked it down a little bit for me. The lead character's freaking adorable. I think that's really what's going to sell the book. That character's going to end up being a very endearing and popular character when it's all said and done.
Until he goes...
Yeah, until... Well, I think that's going to be part of his appeal, is he's going to go a little weird.
I think more along the lines of the team that the government is assembling.
Oh, yeah.
You had the blue-skinned lady.
Yeah.
And the doctor.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there. I'm not sure. The first arc is obviously going to be them finding this kid, and nothing's really going to get, you know, looked at that hard. So I'm hoping that it's not a long haul sort of thing we're in for until we really flesh out the story, you know? We'll see.
Well, there was some, like, little just side things I was reading in the book about, like, the different worlds and the different races.
Yeah.
And there is one world where they have, like, basically gladiatorial fights with robots.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So it's probably AI meets Mass Effect.
Yeah.
That's what we're thinking right now. But it was a good start. Beautiful art. Dustin Nguyen's art is amazing.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Which I forget that he is such a good artist.
Yeah,
because
it's easy.
Nowadays I associate him with, like, Little Gotham, which is great.
Yeah.
But I just forget how...
When he really tries.
When he really does.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Awesome. If I didn't pick All New Hawkeye, I would have picked Big Man Plans number one from Eric Powell. It's from Image Comics. It's really difficult to explain. There's a little person who with a bad attitude. He's a little person. He's been crapped on his entire life because he's different. Anybody who's ever been crapped on because they're different can definitely find something in this book. But he doesn't take it sitting down. He gets in people's faces and lets them know that he's a badass. Eric Powell, founder, creator, writer, owner of The Goon. It definitely has that feel to it, and it feels like there's a revenge story going on, but the first issue was a lot of background. It was great background, but I really want to know more about what is going on. There's a mystery, of what he's going to do, the main character, but definitely a fun book. Definitely a fun book. But what about you, Taylor? Do you have another one you would have...
Avengers was solid.
Yeah, let's talk about Avengers a little bit. It's building up to Secret Wars. It seems like we could talk about it every week because...
Honestly, though, when I got into the shop just then, I had to look to make sure I remembered what all happened this week and not what happened last week because... Yeah.
It's a flood.
We're getting, it seems like a new issue, every other minute.
New Avengers and Avengers, yeah.
Yeah, they keep alternating, and they're telling the same story now, so it's effectively one book.
Yeah.
They've been building up to this for quite a while. The Shi'ar are on their way to destroy Earth because they have found out about...
The incursions.
Yeah, the incursions that are taking place.
Because of the events of Infinity, they didn't even talk about that in the book.
Well, they talk about how, man...
They missed it.
Are we really going to do this? Because we owe the Earthlings and the Avengers in particular
everything.
So much.
Yeah.
And... There's
some good moments with Praetor in there.
Yeah,
his name Praetor, man.
It's Gladiator.
Gladiator, but he's the Praetor now, right?
He's the Emperor. Used to be the Praetor.
Oh, okay.
You're an idiot. Going
no, I
don't, follow, I don't yeah. follow with enough.
The X-Men,
How did he get in there?
That happened a long time ago.
How did he become Emperor?
That happened during the War of Kings story arc, which was this X-Men Guardians of the Galaxy crossover.
It was interesting.
We're reaching
Vulcan.
Back years now.
Vulcan was Emperor. Then.
Yeah, Vulcan was emperor for 5 minutes. Gladiator, for the first time in comics continuity that I know of, broke from his usual ranks to support Lilandra, who had been the old school empress of the Shi'ar. She gets killed, and Vulcan gets killed. I don't know if he actually got killed, but he got banished to another dimension.
Yeah.
So he's no longer.
He's no longer.
And
Shi'ar.
Then fuck it. I guess you're the only one left, Gladiator.
Yeah.
He's the emperor. He has been for a while. Okay. He was emperor during Infinity.
I don't follow the Avengers enough to know that.
That wasn't even an Avengers thing. That was more of an X-Men thing.
Yeah, and it was, and he was definitely, like you said, emperor during Infinity.
Yes. That doesn't matter. What does matter is that they have this moment where Oracle, who's one of the Shi'ar Imperial Guard, is talking are we really going to do this? We founded ourselves on honor. We founded, are we going to be the type of empire that betrays their closest allies?
Yeah.
Betrays people they owe a debt to.
Exactly.
And the editor talks about, if it was just me making the decision, I'd be inclined to do the right thing. But and this is something Hickman's kind of had going on over and over again. I'm not speaking as a person. I'm speaking as an empire.
As the leader of the empire. Yeah.
So we're going to fuck their shit.
I liked that. I think the most fun part of the book was Rocket and the Guardians. We knew that the Guardians and the whole cosmic thing.
They're on their way to warn them about the approaching.
Well, that's their whole thing. Their shtick right now is they're defending the Earth. No one touches Earth.
We also see the Cabal, Namor's group of intergalactic super badasses.
Yeah.
Are
multiversal badasses.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They are in the Ultimate Universe now, twiddling their thumbs.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what they're doing.
Well, mostly just it's interesting because we get to see Namor, he's kind of coming to terms with, Black Panther leaving him to die.
Yeah, yeah.
And now... Namor being the colossal ass nozzle that he is.
He's sort of coming to terms with his own douchiness.
Yeah, he's like, I kind of
deserve
it. I'm just going to live.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole.
But It kind of seemed weird to me that the Cabal isn't doing anything more important except going, damn it, we're stuck here in the Ultimate Universe. Well, they seem like they were moping.
That's
a
the
bit.
Thing that keeps kind of, like, if we're going to complain about the time runs out stuff that the Avengers are doing, it's build up after build up after build up after build up after build up. And there's like big moments where Black Panther does leave Namor to die. There's big moments like they have their knockdown, drag out fight between Steve Rogers' group and Reed Richards' group.
Yeah. But the Pym moment was okay.
This issue was a lot more setup again.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, it's cool. It was a good setup. But
it seems to me, and I said it with the last time we talked about Hickman.
I'm ready for Secret Wars to fucking start. I was ready a month ago for Secret Wars to start.
He's tying up all these loose ends, and what he's left tying up because of the giant scope of Secret Wars, he has to tie up every single loose end in the Marvel Universe, and the Guardians and the whole galactic part of the 616 is a huge thread that he's got to tie in before he starts his event. And yes, it's beginning to feel tedious.
Well, as we were talking about at the beginning of this, I'm starting to lose track of what's happening in which issue because it is all starting to run together at this point.
Yeah. I'm still enjoying it. It's still great.
It's still good, yeah. But
yeah, I definitely want to see.
I'm ready for the next step.
Yeah, me too.
I'm
ready for Esad Ribic art.
Yeah, I'm ready for us to move past the build-up and into the main event.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm ready for Battle World. I'm ready for these tie-ins. Everything else is just on the tangent right now. That nothing I'm reading really matters as much as what I need to read later.
Yeah.
So, cool. Anything else we want to talk about? Any other books?
Nah, I think we've gone on long enough.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for listening, everybody. Check us out on iTunes. Leave us a comment and all that good stuff. Thanks to always to Comic City 2. Check them out at the website. Listen for our This Geek in Music choice for this week. That's No Days Off, and the song is Dream of You. Please check them out on SoundCloud.com. The links, as always, are on OutrightGeekery.com. Talk to you next week.